Hello. We are already off to a bad start. So,
oh, it's so
go.
good.
No, no takes.
No, no.
Rock and roll.
We're the Brothers Geek. This is our podcast.
Special holiday edition.
Thank you, Andrew. Special holiday edition of the Brothers Geek. We have some family watching us record this time.
It's alive and in person.
Yes, yeah. Schmaltz Geeks. Hello, Schmaltz Geeks. Say hello.
Everybody, yay!
Yeah, this doesn't make it weird at all.
It's a good thing we're all drinking.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, everybody who's appearing on the podcast right now has a drink in hand, so.
True statement. We also have a special brother who's joining the podcast today. The other brother, Schmaltz. Daniel Schmaltz.
Daniel Schmaltz.
Welcome, Daniel.
Daniel's here.
Say hello, Daniel.
Hello, everybody.
Everybody, let's get it round and can we get a cheers?
That's
right.
Andrew is here. Patrick, you have it's Andrew and Chris.
Well, I'm getting to that. Don't pump the brakes. Jeez.
Wow.
And then we also have Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Hello.
And then there's Andrew Schmaltz, of course.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, I'm here as well. Merry Christmas, everybody.
We're recording this in person because normally I'm in Portland and they're in Phoenix, but we're actually recording together and this is wonderful and family Christmas
time. That's why it's the holiday edition. You're here.
Yep.
In my house.
Yeah. Where are we right now, Chris? Go ahead and set the scene for us.
You are in my house.
Okay.
We've just experienced one of our Schmaltz family traditions. One of our many traditions. Yeah. Honestly, one of my favorite traditions, the Kuchen baking party at our house.
Yeah, why do we call it Kuka? Isn't it Kuchen?
It's been Kuka my entire life, dude.
Yeah. We should ask Dad about that, as to why it's been called Kuka for our entire life,
and everyone else calls it Kuchen.
Yeah.
I don't know when this changed,
but there was all of a sudden emails started to go out that said Kuchen instead of Kuka.
Yeah, Kuchen.
But it changed one year.
It did change.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
I disapprove of this change.
I disagree. I agree.
Yeah,
it's Kuka.
It is Kuka. Classically.
It will always be Kuka.
It is Kuka. Who knows if that's correct?
If you try to Google it, you won't find anything
exactly.
Under Kuka.
It is unique to what we do. It is
Kuchen,
unique to our
you
experience.
Will find something, though. Yep. And that's we blame Dad for that because he called it freaking Kuka.
We blame Dad for much more than just that. But that's one of the things we blame.
But anyway,
for.
The Kuka baking tradition is the family gathers, it's grandma's Kuka recipe, and we do the assembly line. It is an amazing production.
We have it down to a science.
Stations. There are many multiple moving parts. It's highly engineered and controlled
by everyone all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Dad.
Everyone's super
Dad,
loud.
We assign Dad to a specific thing that he can't screw up.
Because he really did screw it up one year.
2000.
We don't talk about the salt incident.
We're not talking about
it. Yeah, salt. Anyway, the shorthand is salt got substituted for sugar in the recipe. Think about that. Think about that.
It was the dark days of cooking.
It was a dark day.
But the true capper to this story is the fact that Grandma Hansen was tasked with sampling this batch of
Kuka. She was sitting at the table.
And she was sitting there.
First batch comes out.
We cut her a piece, and she ate it, and in her perfectly stoic way, said absolutely nothing.
Said nothing.
Kept her mouth shut. Didn't say a word.
Dude, she didn't want to call us out.
No, she didn't.
Like, she's like sitting
she just
there,
ate
and
it.
She's like thinking, and she's like, this is terrible. What is wrong with them?
Very,
and then we're all like, how's it taste?
True.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, no,
it's real good.
Well, we got to describe this. The dish is like a coffee cake. Thank you, Sue. The dish is a coffee cake-esque thing. It's dough, and then on top of the dough is a pudding and cream mixture.
Yep.
And then on top of that is a streusel, which is a butter and sugar and cinnamon mix that
crumble,
is really,
kind of.
Really calorie-free.
Totally gluten-free, calorie-free, no sugar-free.
You spread that. You spread more of that on, and then you sprinkle it with zero-calorie cinnamon and sugar.
Zero.
Zero more of that, and then you bake that, and then you let it sit, and you don't touch it at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really my favorite
really
thing. It's not, the kind of it's the always the kickoff
it's so
of
tasty.
The schmaltz Christmas week.
And we make six this. Batches of that, and we have about 40 pies.
Yeah.
That is ultimately produced, and we divide it up, and we yep. eat it at Christmas time.
Yep.
It's a great
it's
thing.
Fun. It's fun to just bake all together, you know, and laugh and drink. And
it is.
It's,
and
a,
it's
an
family.
Event.
We gather, and it's a fantastic tradition that we have.
Well,
that
we're lucky
we
that
love.
Chris and Susan have this giant house that we can all
it's
kind of
not
fit
giant,
in.
Giant, but it's big enough for everybody. So
bigger
it's
than my two-bedroom condo,
good.
That's for sure.
And we're very happy that Jim and Sue and Zach can be with us here tonight to experience and share in the wonders of the Kuka experience at our house, so it's a good time.
Adria
good
time. Was here earlier. She yes, she Adria. Helped out with my assigned task.
The number one Brothers Geek fan.
She is number our one. Number one Brothers Geek fan, my wonderful girlfriend. She's left, but yeah, she came and she was all involved tonight, and that was great. So it was a lot of togetherness tonight, which is the best part.
It's fantastic, which this time of year is holiday traditions.
It is.
We love it.
We have lots of traditions in the Schmaltz family, so this is the first of many.
Speaking of, like,
we're breaking traditions by having Daniel on the podcast.
Yeah.
you guys are very schmaltzy, by the way.
Yes, we are.
We are very.
It's very appropriate.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Speaking of, like, holiday traditions, like, I love to watch, like, Christmas
we all have
movies.
Our favorite holiday.
Christmas movies.
We have Christmas.
Christmas
moments,
shows.
Holiday
Christmas.
Moments. Stuff like that. Yes.
Like I'd like to go around and ask everybody like what their favorite Christmas movie is. You know, is there one that you need to watch? Is sort of like
I think we should put Daniel on the spot
Daniel.
With this question.
Daniel.
Sure. Well, the go-to is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh yeah, yes. That's solid. Mm-hmm. Solid
very,
choice.
Very,
shitter's full.
Yes.
Exactly.
Shitter's full.
Shitter's full.
Yep.
Love that one. Love that one. And have actually been proactive and been trying to watch some of the old classics.
Okay.
So
okay.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
Yeah.
We watched that putting our tree up this year. Yep. It was fantastic.
Yep. Brianna and I watched the beginning, and I watched the rest of White Christmas.
Oh yeah, that's
that's a great
movie.
Yeah.
The singing one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. I have a fond memory of watching that with Mom when I was probably 10.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I don't think I've ever seen that. That's,
oh, yeah.
That is
what
a proactive thing.
You haven't seen what?
White Christmas.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I've seen It's a Wonderful Life, but I've never seen White Christmas beginning to end. Yeah. So that's cool.
They run them all.
Home Alone has been on repeat.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we talked about that last week.
Cannot,
you know?
Not watch that when you land on it.
You can't.
At the on the
you
holiday channel.
In. You always get sucked into Home Alone.
I have to chime in and say my memory is the holiday episode of Lawrence Welk at the farm.
Interesting.
Whoa. Yep. We got the picture of the farm, the overhead of the farm on our wall here.
The aerial,
The family gathering, sort of, I'm always reminded of we spent all our Christmases at the farm.
Wow.
And all of my best holiday memories are all oriented around being at the farm at Christmas time and watching Lawrence, god-awful Lawrence Welk.
For those of us who don't know what the hell Lawrence Welk
is. Big band.
Like PBS, right?
Ultra cheesy. Oh,
okay.
Big band singing and dancing.
Cool.
Google it.
Google is the source of all knowledge.
But Lawrence Welk and the warm, you know, and then, you know. The floor grate that burns your feet.
Yeah.
I have
memories
of that floor grate.
Daniel will appreciate this because my other favorite holiday memory is King of the Mountain.
Yes.
On the mounds of snow that Grandpa would plow the farm, right? And the pile of snow.
20 feet.
It was at least 20 feet. And there's 7 years difference between us. And so when we were going to the farm, you know,
Grandpa Hansen's farm in South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Yeah.
I was twice the size, at least, of Daniel at the time. And so I could pick his ass up and throw him off the top. And I did it. Daniel, being Daniel, would get up and climb back to the top.
He would charge
and get
straight
thrown
back
off
up.
Again. We dug tunnels and rooms into those piles of snow.
We probably should have died.
That's exactly right. Totally unsafe.
Oh, yeah.
Tunnels into those And carved out
you
rooms.
You could have been buried alive.
Yes, yes. We absolutely could have been buried alive in those piles of snow. But yep. Invariably, when we were there, Lawrence Welk Christmas would come on, be put on. After we're doing all the sort of Christmas Eve stuff, it was part of the soundtrack of what we were doing. So that's my Christmas moment.
All right, we got a couple of old answers.
I know. mine is considerably less schmaltzy than that. I always come back to, I love it when my favorite TV shows would do Christmas episodes, and they would have Christmas themes in the episode. And I always come back to the holiday episode of The West Wing that follows. It's in the second season.
Oh, yeah.
There's an assassination attempt on President Bartlett in the end of the first season. One of his key staffers, Josh Lyman, who was my favorite character on the show, gets very gravely wounded in this assassination attempt. And the Christmas episode is set on Christmas Eve. He's meeting with a trauma counselor because he's been having PTSD after this because he was shot and he had several hours of surgery.
Good.
He had to save his life.
Good.
And they tell all these flashbacks. And then there's this very... And I can't remember the piece of music, but there's a scene where Yo-Yo Ma plays a piece of music on his cello. It's a Bach piece of music. And it's very evocative of the holidays.
Yeah.
And it's played through this... And the context of the piece of music is he's playing it. And whenever Josh Lyman hears a piece of music, he has a PTSD, basically, attack.
Reaction.
And relives the memory of the attack. So he's having a panic attack, an anxiety attack, while Yo-Yo Ma is playing his cello in the White House. And it's just, the scene's fantastic. It's amazing cinematic television. And that always kind of comes to mind when I think. But it's all, I mean, but what comes out of this, is a very heavy, emotional episode for Josh, but there's also very cathartic moments of healing. And at the end, Josh's kind of father figure in the show, Leo McGarry, tells a story about how, you know, he evokes the idea. It's very, you know, we're in all in this together. As long as I got a job, you got a job. You know, when the guy falls down the hole, I'm jumping in the hole with you because I know the way out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very heartwarming, and it shows that bond really strongly. And it's a Christmas episode, you know, about togetherness and family and the community that's around you. I always think about that. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's mine. That got more schmaltzy than I expected it to. Yeah.
I thought we were going to talk about Die Hard, dude.
Patrick might bring up Die Hard right now. You never know.
I mean, you've got to talk about Die Hard. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, my favorite, like, Christmas thing is probably, like, Scrooged with Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Love Scrooged.
I always had, like...
That's my favorite movie,
For sure. Like, yeah. I really enjoyed that a lot when I was young and still enjoy it now. It's on, you know, HBO Go. You can watch it.
Rotation.
Yes. Bill Murray just, I don't know. He always got me when I was... Still, he gets me, but, I mean... this modern day, you know,
Christmas Carol.
Yeah. He's like bleed cynicism, right?
So
he's perfect
yeah.
for that.
Yep.
Perfect for that role.
I love how dark that movie is. It gets really dark,
it's dark
and it's funny and it's got these, I mean, they took chances with that movie and, the moment at the end where they're singing, you know.
Do you know how many dogs there are in America?
No, it's cats. It's cats.
And dogs.
They want to get cats to watch the episode.
No,
they
about
want
dogs and cats. 48 million
you're right,
dogs.
You're right.
Yeah. We spend billions of dollars
on
dog food and
pet
food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we need to get cats to watch the episode. You know, they're special producing this episode of A Christmas Carol.
Is so
it's
funny.
Horrible.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I love Scrooge too. The part at the end where Bill Murray does his speech into the camera interrupts the live broadcast because what kind of jackass has a live broadcast on Christmas Eve? Only you, Frank. He's like, thank you. A week ago, I'd have punched that guy in the nose.
Well, but the more I think about it, as I mentioned Die Hard, it would be that guy who would greenlight the Die Hard movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because who thinks that a movie set at Christmas time should be blowing up Nakatomi Plaza?
Well, I think of, like, movies that are set at Christmas time that are not about Christmas, like Iron Man 3 set at Christmas time.
But that's very underplayed.
Yeah,
the Christmas element to that.
Sure.
And, you know, Die Hard takes place at a Christmas party. Like the whole it starts with him going to his wife's office
it's
for
all
her Christmas party.
Around
Christmas.
Yeah. Christmas.
Yeah.
And they play Christmas. They play it up.
Oh yeah. All the jokes. I have a machine gun now. Ho ho ho.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good. Yep. Very good.
Well, that's fun.
This is a special edition of the Brothers Geek.
Special
Tonight.
Edition.
Yeah. We're doing a year-end recap
Daniel?
For you guys.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Andrew.
So, yeah, we want to. I want to throw it to Daniel and see what he has to say about the podcast and being on the podcast.
Yeah,
this is a big deal. It's a holiday edition. Welcome.
Holiday edition.
So what's the deal? What's up? How are you, Daniel?
I'm well. Thank you.
No, ask him direct questions. Don't be like that. Come on.
This is
stream of consciousness, dude.
Yeah, I know where he's going with it.
It took 23 episodes for you to get on the podcast, for you to wear us down.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, Patrick and I actually had this conversation earlier this evening.
Yeah.
And as you well know, but the listeners don't, I don't have the same interests that you three have. So I don't engage in the family conversation at dinner time about the movies that are coming out and the latest book that's been written and all of that. So that's the reason. Mm-hmm. I don't have as much to contribute, but
we're very happy
Schmaltz
to have you on because he is a brother.
He is a brother Schmaltz. Absolutely.
Exactly right.
And frankly, I wasn't invited.
There's that.
I'll go back to the Captain America experience.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I did give it a
you did,
college
you give
try.
It a yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And I started to read the Captain America comic book and I got the box at the comic book shop, and I made the effort. I went to Comic-Con, twice?
Yeah.
Two or three times?
Yeah, you did.
And then they killed Captain America.
Yeah.
That wasn't a good start.
A little tonight. More, yeah. Daniel jumped in on Captain America number one, where Ed Brubaker took over the story and wrote it from 1 to basically 25, and at the end of issue 25, that's when Cap got killed. And, I mean, he eventually comes back to life. Steve Rogers.
Hey, guess what? They brought him back.
Exactly. Yeah. Comic book characters always come back
War.
To life. Yeah. He got killed at the end of Civil War.
Yeah. No, it was after Civil War. He got
that
killed.
That wasn't a great first experience.
During his trial.
No, they were walking him up. They were walking him up the stairs. He got killed outside the courthouse.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. Daniel absolutely gave it a college try. He's been to 2 Comic-Cons, which is...
But if it doesn't... No. Daniel's experience is frankly correct because... Frankly, the writing in comics kind of sucks.
Now? Or then?
It's a rarity when it's really quality storytelling.
Yes.
Otherwise, they rely on
Bendis, or not, Brubaker is awesome,
you're making my point. You're making my point. Dan, right. If it's not quality, it's the rarity to have a series that has a combination of quality writing and storytelling and art, right?
Yes.
In my experience, I've bounced around, and I'm looking for sort of sustained, interesting storytelling, and we lose that oftentimes because they can't carry a through line through anything, and they rely on the visuals because that appeals to the 13-year-old boys, right? And then the crappy dialogue.
You're talking about the inconsistencies of comics. That's a bit broader topic, I would say.
But I'm just saying, Daniel is looking for maybe a little bit more, sort of something to hold his interest. The whole trope of comic books and the comic world killing off the heroes and then bringing them back. Those days,
it's silly.
It's dumb.
Yeah,
it's dumb.
Everyone tries to replicate
people
the success.
Are fans.
They just killed
people
Wolverine.
Are fans. I'm not a fan of Captain America as a symbol, Captain America.
Right.
I'm a fan of the character Steve Rogers, freaking Captain America.
Yes.
And you kill him off, and I'm done with that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. It's like...
Right.
There's,
I don't know if it's that complicated. I just thought it was bad timing.
It is complicated. It's that complicated for me.
True,
okay,
true statement.
This is serious business.
It is serious.
Okay. Let's keep this moving. So.
But thank you for inviting me.
Of course. You are always welcome, brother.
You are a brother's geek.
Absolutely.
We talked about like the best of.
It's a special episode.
We
the
should
end
do
the
best
episode.
Of the year. What we think. What the retrospective.
Favorite geeky stuff of the year.
So, you know, let's do our favorite scenes.
Yes.
What, Andrew?
Scene
would you like to start us off?
Played.
I'm gonna go super basic on this, and I'm gonna just shoot straight from the hip. My favorite thing that I saw this year was the Force Awakens trailer. I'm I'm putting my hand down on that right now. It was like, the absolute...
Really?
Out of everything. Because it absolutely, totally, 100% reawakened my excitement for Star Wars.
That's pretty strong.
100%. And I could... The argument can be made that when this dog shit prequel trilogy was coming out, they had really great trailers too. It ignited our excitement for those movies. But the Force Awakens trailer, and knowing that J.J. Abrams, a filmmaker that I love, that I respect, that I am really excited for, that he's taken over it, a whole new kind of batch of characters, the cinematic nature of just the 90 seconds that we saw, 100% my favorite thing I saw this year.
That's solid.
I would only like to interject that I was pretty excited when the Duel of Fates trailer came out for Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
And I just don't want you to build it up too high and can't meet your expectations. Yeah. That's all I'll say about that.
I agree with you.
Christopher.
Yeah, well, the payoff of that was a freaking Trade Federation, dude. So J.J. Abrams is not going to do that.
Christopher.
Trade Federation.
What's your favorite scene of the year?
I think my favorite scene of the year has to be Winter Soldier.
Oh, yeah.
2014.
It's a close second for me.
It's that. I was thinking... I was going back over. It's either Winter Soldier or Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm still amazed that they pulled off Guardians of the Galaxy.
They caught lightning in a bottle with that movie.
I can't believe that they made the movie that they did about that, you know, grade level C group in the Marvel universe.
It's not even C group. That's
so obscure, and they did such a good job of putting that movie together and making it interesting and funny and fun. As I was considering that, the quality of Winter Soldier as a movie, and as the story that it told, it was timely, it was topical. Captain America got to be a badass. He had help. The people that he was fighting with are fun and good characters. All of that was terrific. I think that's my favorite scene of 2014.
Yeah.
Did you have something?
No, the only thing that I would add onto that is I was impressed with Winter Soldier, just how unbelievably good the action was. It's a great action movie. Beyond being this interesting comic book movie.
Good dramatic moments.
Yeah, it has great action.
Tension.
The fight scene, when the Winter Soldier and Cap meet on the street for that first time and they have that knockdown kind of fist fight.
Yeah, it's
great.
It's good stuff.
Cool. Daniel. Do you have we're kind of putting you on the spot here, but do you have a favorite scene, something you saw this year that you really enjoyed? Television show, movie?
Even a trailer? I mean, I went trailer style.
You went trailer. You know, whatever you are excited about or really liked?
Let me see. I don't see as many movies as you guys do. You know what? Power Rangers. So Joey and I...
okay, no, awesome. Bring it.
I love it. Yeah, good.
Bring it.
I like it.
So my son Joey and I watch Power Rangers every week. And in the series finale this year, they brought back all of the old Power Rangers.
You told me about that.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Like all like 15 seasons or something?
There was like 100 Power Rangers battling
the
Armada. And it was a great episode.
Well, is the original CG as bad today as it was back in the day? I mean, it's just terrible.
I never watched it back in the day.
It's
terrible. I only know the last couple seasons.
Have they upgraded
the
commuter?
Do you know they're going to make a new like live-action Power Rangers movie? Did you hear about
movie?
This?
Joey probably does.
Movie.
Yeah.
They're going to make another one. They're already in pre-production from it. Yeah. Like, like a standalone. They're going to reboot everything Power Rangers.
What was the most recent? Because every Power Rangers series has a different name. It's something blah, blah, blah.
How long has that been?
It's Super Samurai, I think.
Okay. Well, the original was Mighty Morphin. That was the...
Mighty Morphin.
Was the series that I watched when I was a kid.
My wife says Megaforce.
Megaforce.
Super
Brianna
Megaforce.
Chimes in with
good
the
job,
assist.
Brianna.
Thank you, Brianna.
Well,
thank you, Brianna.
Mighty Morphin was the original.
Well, that's good. Yeah. Mighty Morphin's the original. Yeah.
Did they combine to form? Was it Voltron-esque or was that not Voltron?
There's five independent giant robots that combine together for
so
a super sword.
So it was a Voltron ripoff.
Oh, totally. Well, the funny piece of trivia about Power Rangers before.
Please bring it.
If you bring it. They shot American actors doing American things, you know, American teenagers, and then they would recycle footage from the original Japanese Mighty Morphin. the action scenes where everybody was covered and it was just stunt people. They recycled
all the dudes
all of
in costumes, like, they're talking to Japanese, like, words. Like, they're speaking
was
Japanese.
Was that English, Patrick? Okay. Talking to Japanese
words?
They
would recycle footage.
They dub it over with English. Yes.
From the original Japanese.
And they're all wearing helmets.
I understand what he's saying.
Thank you. Had a lot to drink. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, Pat's had at least two or three fingers of bourbon.
Don't blame
him
on the booze.
Talking to
Japanese words. I'm not that drunk. but yeah, that was weird.
So,
I'm excited about that. Power Rangers. That's good.
Yeah.
Nice.
The season finale.
This
is an extended episode. There was a
How long are current episodes of that?
Well, no, it's a half an hour with commercials, so I don't know, 20 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. But so was the finale a 30-minute show, or was it longer than that?
I think it was an hour with commercials. Okay. So what does that mean?
40 minutes.
42 minutes.
42 minutes.
Yeah. I think my favorite scene of the year was probably Legend of Korra, because I got two whole seasons
and a series finale.
Which you haven't watched yet.
But I will watch that
I will talk about it.
I've heard the finale was tremendous.
I've heard the finale. It wraps up the series in a very interesting way.
But this is like, I don't want it to end. That's kind of why I haven't watched it.
You're in love with something is you don't want the show to end.
So that was probably my favorite thing. Close second is Winter Soldier, for sure. Guardians of the Galaxy. I love that.
Solid. Very solid.
But yeah, that's a good scene.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. We should move on to our favorite red of the year. Christopher, do you have a favorite red? You are the, I've read a whole bunch.
Seriously, I've read 17 books in 3 weeks.
Not quite. Okay. Wow. I think my favorite red is the is in the geek world, the Ragnarok comic.
Oh wow.
Yeah, you talked about that.
The premiere of that came out at Comic-Con, right? I bought episode 1. This is Walt Simonson, right?
Was it Comic-Con or WonderCon?
Comic-Con. And there have only been, I think, 3 issues released this year.
Mm.
But it coalesced around my interest in Norse mythology and sort of our Norwegian kind of heritage. I've been reading a bunch of stuff about the Vikings, that kind of thing. And the art and the writing is really good, and it calls out, it is after the end of the world. The Norse world, right? And so the remnants, the story it's telling is Thor has been killed by the great serpent, right? And so what's left are the dark elves, and other remnants of the aftermath of the Armageddon in the Norse mythology, right? And so it's following a couple of specific characters. They're a thief and an assassin, and they go to this ancient... I'm just setting it up. They go to this ancient temple, and this is after Ragnarok has happened, right? Years later. And they go to this ancient temple, and inside is the skeleton of what you ultimately learn is Thor.
Oh,
jeez. And it is... He comes alive because they take his hammer from the door that is sealed up the temple, and then they go inside, and then... shit goes down.
Shit gets real.
Yeah. And I think that has been my favorite thing to read.
I will have to check that out. That sounds cool.
It's really good. The art's awesome. And the story and the dialogue are really solid, compelling.
How many issues are they on?
I think only 3 since the summer.
I'm going to have to borrow those before I leave. Yep. That sounds cool. Yep.
That's it.
Daniel, have you read any books this? I don't even know.
I don't know how to read.
All right.
He did graduate from ASU, so it's questionable.
Yeah, that's true.
Whoa.
Yeah. I had to throw in one ASU dig for the podcast.
That's true.
I did graduate from ASU. I didn't read any...
It doesn't have to be geek-related.
Whatever you like.
I didn't read any comic books this year. I like John Grisham.
Mm-hmm.
I read... I don't know how old it is, but it's called The Racketeer. It was all right.
We're going after your favorite.
Favorite thing. Honestly,
it's not an insurance book, is it?
No. Close.
Oh, geez.
It's actually The Four Disciplines of Execution. By
give the listeners a synopsis, please.
So it's a management tool for... that's all the right. extent of my...
Jesus.
I read a lot of books like
Dude.
That.
Dude.
This is not a nerd podcast.
Can we have a... This is a finance nerd, insurance Daniel, nerd. That's a different podcast, dude. Let's have an intervention here.
I'm going to throw some support Daniel's way. Daniel is the boss in his office, essentially. Yeah. He's a regional partner in his particular company, and he's got people who report to him, so he's got underlings that he's training up.
He's got underlings.
He's got absolutely. So he is
all
about that.
I'm all grown up.
He's a serious dude. He has to read insurance books.
I do.
I think I read more insurance this year than anybody.
I can't remember the last, other than John Grisham books, I can't remember the last... like entertainment book that I read.
Sports related book, maybe?
Well, yeah, I'll read like autobiographies of different people.
That counts. Doesn't have to be a book.
No, but I'm trying to reach back to
2014. It's only this year, dude.
Yeah, no, I mean, I read a lot of business books, a lot of work stuff.
We need intervention.
I ran a couple. There was another John Grisham book in there. I don't read as much. Mm. As I should, but
that sounds good. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
Andrew.
Four Disciplines of Execution.
Who is the writer?
Google it.
Oh, who's the writer?
Google it.
Google it. Do you know the writer? Can you plug the writer?
What are
Daniel?
The four disciplines?
Break it down. What's the four?
Let's hear it.
Well, it's a management system designed around wildly important goals, right? So you set these goals for yourself. And then,
or your team, you
or
set
your team.
You're the team goal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it can be an individual.
All right.
So, and then you discover the lead measures, and then you can have a conversation about lagging and leading measures and kind of.
Is there synergy involved?
Lots of synergy.
Synergy.
Yeah, and then the punchline in the management system is that the team makes commitments against those lead measures. Right, so it's pretty effective, and then you track
have
it.
You implemented
you've got
the, have you implemented this
oh, yeah,
with your team?
Yeah,
are
of
you
course.
Doing like training sessions on it and stuff like that?
No, we have a weekly call where we go over it all.
You do?
And, yeah,
right on.
It actually helps you achieve your goals.
I like it.
Helps you think about what do I have to do today in order to reach the goal that I want to get to tomorrow.
I like it.
Cool.
Right, in a methodical way.
That's good. I like structure like that.
I'm a very structured guy.
Structure like that is helpful because...
Just so you're aware, the geekiest person in the room is making fun of you.
No. It's all good.
Just so we're aware. Okay.
It's all good.
No.
Hold on.
I love it.
Let's give a little... We all kinds of geekery are embraced in this.
That is finance and management geekery. So it's welcome.
Good for you, Daniel.
Welcome.
If you're going to do anything
that involves
you do
a
word 100%.
Synergy, is fucking welcome.
Absolutely.
It's good.
That's absolutely right. I think I'm gonna
marking the time.
Marking the time so Pat can bleep that out later.
Andrew.
Okay.
Your favorite... Red of
my favorite red of 2014, and now you guys get to assault me because you guys made fun of me for weeks because I've talked about this book. The favorite thing I read this year was The Queen of the Tierling by Erica Johansson. It's a great fantasy novel. It's the first novel in a trilogy. I really enjoyed it.
Is this the romance book?
It's none of those things.
Dude,
it's a fantasy adventure.
Is there a romance triangle?
No, there is absolutely no romance triangle.
Were there really buff dudes and really hot women?
No.
Yeah, there were.
There are not.
Swooning? Was there swooning?
There is no swooning. The main character
I bet you
in this
there
book
was swooning.
Is described as actually very plain.
No, I'm,
she,
I'm sure tr- was,
she gets by on her
was
wits.
Was there pining?
No pining. None.
What was it? What was involved in this book then, dude? Sounds boring as hell.
For you, for the fan of the Twilight series
boring.
That you sound to be.
Oh my God. Was there vampires?
Absolutely no vampires.
Zombies?
There might be an undead. I don't want to call him a zombie.
A zombie.
It's not a zombie. He's undead.
My God.
It's a great book. It's a first in a trilogy. It tells the story of
this
a very...
sounds more boring than the four strategies of synergy.
It's the four disciplines of execution.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Not a YA book. My good friend Christy is reading it, and my girlfriend Adria is reading it, has read it, and she loves it too. So there's the next book coming out, The Invasion of the Tierling. Absolutely. I got them onto it. They didn't get me onto it.
Stop
Susan's
it.
Throwing the whip sound Stop from it. The cheap seats over there.
Are there whips in this book?
For my edification and for the listener's edification, I need a 3-sentence synopsis of this book.
Okay. There's
no
a young
syndroming.
Okay.
No
there's
yes,
a young
no
woman syndroming. Who it's set in a post-apocalyptic medieval kingdom. This young
whoa,
woman
whoa,
has
whoa, whoa.
That's your
post-apocalyptic medieval?
Yes.
This shit makes no sense.
It absolutely makes sense. You got to read the book. It'll make sense. There's a young woman who's been raised in isolation. She's the princess. The very beginning of the movie, a queen's guard comes and get her to take her to the capital because she's going
That's
to
two.
Ascend to
That's
the throne.
Two. You got one more.
One more sentence.
Was that it?
And she, the various challenges she faces in reestablishing herself.
It's a female heroine.
Yes.
Awesome.
Very
I love
strong.
It. I love it.
All right. Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Not
a female
freaking YA book.
Female heroine is kind of redundant.
Are they going to make a movie out of this?
Female hero.
Emma Watson.
Shut up.
The lovely Emma Watson of Harry Potter fame.
Is going to play
She
her?
Has read the book, and she has given interviews about... She may make this like a passion project. Like, she will get this movie made. She will star as the main character and get the movie made.
I'd have to read that.
If she's in it, then I'll see it.
She's very lovely.
She's not ugly. She's not ugly.
Don't. That's my word.
She's very unugly.
Yeah. What's your favorite red, brother?
Favorite red. Well, I checked something off my bucket list this year of red, and that is Frank Herbert's Dune.
Yes.
We
get to talk about Dune some more.
I know. I can talk about
We've
this
only
forever.
Talked
about
Dune
for three four, months.
Four episodes in a row.
Dune is just
that good.
So
it was
good.
Just so good.
So good.
And, we need to talk. We'll talk in length about Dune when Andrew finishes it, but it You know, this is a book that changes
gonna,
you. Yeah, this is a book
a
that
whole,
like makes
do
you
a
think
whole
about.
Episode about it.
We yep. like make a whole. It just makes you think about your life. Makes you think about all this like
That's
ideas.
What you Daniel, you should.
And
read
this is
Dune.
A science fiction book.
Daniel,
like
you
it's
should read
it's,
Dune. It's politics.
It's next
power,
level. Yeah.
It's manipulation.
It's like human beings.
It's insurance.
Doing
all the things I love.
It's, yeah.
It's finance. It's finance.
It's big business with the
Chome It's motivation.
What? Chome.
It's motivation. Gonna... Do this or you die. Yeah. You could implement that.
You're selling past your clothes.
Nice.
He just sales geeked you. Boom. Boom. Geeked.
Boom.
Right.
Sales geeked. Right. That's my favorite read of the year. I really, like, close second to Stormfront. I had so much fun listening to that. That's just like candy, though. Like,
yep.
That book was just entertaining. Yeah, very, very fun.
Stormfront is brain candy for sure, but
totally.
It's told, it twists the tropes.
Yeah.
It has classic kind of detective noir stuff, but with the wizard as the main character, and he exists in this totally like real Chicago.
Well, you and I were talking about that, the scene in the book where like the demon shows up and he's like taking the shower and he comes out and he's wearing the towel and the demon shows up at his door and he's got to fight the thing naked.
Yeah.
And like the date is like sitting on the couch as this is happening and it's like the absurdity of it and it's just funny and fun
and
the
exciting.
Action is great.
It only
exciting.
Gets better.
And you just
it
listen to it. You couldn't stop.
That.
You couldn't
it
stop.
It only gets better
yeah,
after
right.
that book. So good. The series is
so I will continue to listen to that series for sure. That's my favorite read.
Awesome.
Played. I'd like to start off with Daniel for played. Do you have any game that
Favorite
you played
game.
This year
you know
with your children?
Been...
Hold on. You know, something on the Wii or your phone or you've seen your daughter play maybe? I don't know. Something that seemed fun?
Gosh. Skylanders Swap Force.
There you go.
Explain this to us. What is this?
What is involved in the playing of that game? Do you, like, kill stuff? Or you... You fight things?
Yeah,
SWAT
you fight
force?
Things.
Swap.
It's figurines that you put on a base, and they appear in the game,
and
right?
They have powers, and you have...
Do you fly them? Some can fly, or all can fly, or how does that work?
Well, you need to purchase more figurines to get past certain parts.
Oh, there you go. It's a pyramid scheme.
So, yeah, you get into it, and then you get to a certain part in the map, and... Without that certain power, you can't get past. So you gotta go to the store. And another $16.
Wow, that is genius.
Yeah. Genius.
That's a genius idea.
Oh my gosh!
But yeah, no.
Just keep buying stuff.
So do you like? Is it puzzles?
What do you
solve puzzles or do you fight against things?
Some of it's puzzles, like moving blocks around, and you know. Yeah, I mean,
I've never played it, so I've seen it in the stores all the time, and I know it's popular, but I have no idea. Sort of
what do you play this
on?
What is
game?
This? What is
Wii
this?
U?
This is for
U.
The Wii U. Yeah, okay, Wii U. Cool.
And then Mario Kart 8.
Oh yeah, you've been playing 8. Yeah. Is that who's your racer?
Game.
Who's your racer on 8?
Yeah, is it you go to
Toad?
Toad. That's a good.
Yeah,
one.
Which is the regular kart, and then I like the rainbow parachute.
Oh yeah.
And then I go with the skinny wheels.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I go
regular car, skinny wheels, rainbow parachute.
I go sports car, super slick.
I haven't played 8 at all.
We're gonna fire it up.
We're gonna fire this up.
Super slick tires.
Yeah.
I do super slick tires with the sports car. I go Metal Mario.
Ooh, Joey likes Metal Mario.
Is it unlockable? Metal Mario?
Yeah, we've unlocked it.
Oh nice.
Yep.
Well that's awesome.
Because I've never played Metal Mario. Okay.
Okay. All right. Sweet. Christopher. What's your favorite?
I think I know the answer to this question, but...
My favorite played has got to be Diablo 3 Reaper of Souls.
Wow.
Nice. Yep. It jumped WoW.
Yeah.
I was expecting WoW for this.
WoW was, you know, at the end of an expansion. I didn't play it for the longest time. The new expansion came out, but it's not better. I got so much fun out of playing the expansion to Diablo 3. That game is freaking fun.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah,
I mean,
describe that game for me.
That is Diablo is a
it's a PC game.
Third person. Yeah, it's on PC. It's a third person monster killing game. Essentially, you are a badass character, and the whole nature
warrior, wizard, archer kind of character.
Exactly. I have two characters: a monk and a wizard. And I can have fun and play with either one of them. And the nature of this game is you are uber powerful. You are blazing through these waves of demons and creatures and other things that are trying to kill you.
And they drop items.
The
and
whole
gold
point of the game is to get the better gear, right? And that's all you do. You go and you play it over and over again. And the visceral nature of how fun it is and how immediate the rewards are.
Mm.
Is it's so totally replayable constantly. You feel like a hero in that game. You are so powerful and you are smoking stuff. So, and there are challenges for sure, but you feel powerful. And it's fun to play on that level of, they've perfectly figured out that play it a while and get a reward. But my characters are powerful enough that it takes a while to play to actually get an upgrade, but the rewarding nature of it, and it's repetitive, and it's the nature of that game is a grind, right? It's not you play over and over maps over and over again. It's just a great game.
Blizzard makes games that are look good, feel good, have great stories
that
and
game
worlds.
Is great.
Like the world that it's set in is really interesting and fun, and the characters, and you feel like you're part of it. You affect things, and
they've perfected the idea that you have a character that is powerful, and that you
feel
have
like
challenges.
A badass.
You have
run around feeling like a badass,
but
you
can overcome those challenges.
Right.
And the idea is overcoming those challenges gives you a chance at some better gear, and you're always that endorphin.
Yeah,
they've tapped into that in that game so well. Whereas WoW has sort of degenerated into a kind of a grind fest, and they don't have that reward balance down really yet.
Okay.
So Reaper of Souls has got to be mine.
Wow.
All right.
Yep.
Cool.
Andrew?
I've only had a couple of things that I've talked about this year. I replayed some Halo, and I've played the most of my year has been playing Destiny and leveling my Titan on Destiny.
Yeah.
And I have a very specific story mission that is my favorite part of that game. And how Destiny works for anybody who doesn't know is you are this guardian who's created on Earth, and you unlock other planets as you level up so you can go on harder and harder missions. You start on Earth, you go to the moon, you go to Venus, you finish the story game on Mars. And my favorite story mission is a story mission on the moon. You unlock the moon, you get up there, you run some story missions. It's the second or third story mission on the moon. And the objective is you crawl through the moon, you go, you know.
Is this the sword mission?
The sword mission. Where you get, battle through waves of enemies, you get down into this dungeon.
You get into this room.
The sword is floating
in the middle of the air.
Before all of this, Destiny
this is a shooter.
It's a first-person shooter. You're running around, blowing people away with your various awesome guns, so killing all these waves of enemy or whatever, and then you get to this mission, and you grab, the end of this mission is you grab this sword, and it goes to third person, and the controls totally change,
wave upon wave of
super power for dudes, and you have this powerful sword, and you just have to murk everybody in the room. It is such a fun moment in this game. I've replayed that story mission multiple times, and it's just
and it's as hard.
Fun. It's hard.
It's on harder settings. Those bigger dudes, they will jack you up.
Exalted knights that you have to fight at the end of that are incredibly tough, and you're still pretty squishy. At that point in the game, you haven't leveled up enough to your point where you're strong enough to really take people on. So you can get yourself worked over pretty quick.
But it's
so much fun to play with. I mean, because the game itself is a lot of fun. The different variations on the weapons and everything else.
The combat, they've really perfected the combat. It's a little light on content, they don't have that reward balance down.
They don't.
The combat
leveling 1 through 20... They have that balance, I think, great. When you get north of 20 and you're going towards 30, you have to build your light. You get in deep valleys. Yeah. But that moment when you grab the Sword of Crota and you have to fight off all the guys in the room, that is
a great, visceral, fun game moment for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Really good.
My favorite played is also Destiny. But my moment really is finding these friends that I found in the game. Playing with Zach and David and my friends Troy and Kevin and Kyle and Lloyd,
you won't raid with your brothers.
Well,
dude.
It's not like that, but like our schedule. I mean, the times that we have that our schedules line up, we record the podcast.
Yep, it's hard.
So finding this awesome core of friends in this game is really what video games is about for me. And this game has enabled that. It's like being close to people and working towards a goal together, and laughing and having a fun adventure, and Destiny is definitely that. Cool. So that's my favorite. I would also like to add to the end of this. My favorite thing of 2014 is definitely the Brothers Geek podcast.
Yes.
I have loved doing this with the brothers.
Yes.
I have loved like being able to do this, talk to my brothers. And
this
just,
is the episode 24.
24.
It's actually 25 with the pre.
With the episode zero. Yeah.
But it's officially 24.
That's
amazing.
I never want to stop doing this.
Oh, yeah.
I love that our family is part of this. I love that they're here.
I
love that Daniel's here with us.
It's awesome.
You know, it's just a great thing of 2014. So,
Andrew,
do you have a trivia question for us?
This is a perfect segue into my trivia question.
Nice.
It is absolutely a meta trivia question for us tonight.
Whoa.
Here we go. It's multiple choice.
Pat,
turn away. Wow. You're not looking at the answers. Here we go. How long in total time, minutes, have we recorded this year with the Brothers Geek?
Oh my God.
And I will give you options.
Total
1,889.
Are these minutes?
Minutes.
Jesus.
Holy moly.
A, 1,889. B, 2,026. C, 2,344. Or D, 1,998. How many, which one of those total minutes?
Zach is saying C behind you. Any call-outs from the audience?
One more.
Our father is saying A. She's saying B.
What are the options?
Mom, you've listened to them all.
90 times 24? Is that what you're doing?
Choice A is 1,889.
We don't always go to 90 minutes.
Choice B is 2,026 minutes. Choice C is 2,344. And D is 1,998.
D.
Daniel says D.
What's Brianna?
Daniel goes D.
I'm going B.
2026?
I'm going 2026.
Okay, so Daniel's got D, 1998.
Are you counting episode zero?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Every minute we've recorded as Brothers Geek. It's posted on the website.
I'm going.
You got
I'm going B.
C.
D.
D.
I'm going B.
B.
I'll do C.
C.
And the audience is sort of all over the place.
We've got.
They're saying C. They're
Dad
saying
was A.
C.
Dad was A.
Okay. Dad was A.
What's the answer?
Okay.
What's
the
answer?
Correct answer is B.
Boo!
2,026 minutes.
2,000 minutes.
That okay? A little couple more facts for you. That averages out to 84 minutes an episode, and that's 33.7
Dad
hours.
Dad says that's way too long.
33.7 hours of podcast we produce.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It's only the beginning.
I'm gonna add on to what Patrick said. 2014 has probably been the best year of my life for many reasons, but a big reason has been doing this with you guys.
Me too.
Totally.
Yeah. Love you guys.
Love it.
And I love that Daniel's here. I love that he's part of the end cap of the year. He's bringing it strong for the 24th episode. I'm really happy that he's here. It's been great.
And you know, for all those listeners out there, like, thank you for listening. Thank you, for listening, being part of our
family.
We'll be back
in 2015. It'll be even better.
We'll be back in 2015, and we'll keep making these as long as we can.
And a holiday message from everyone out there, from all of us.
Remember, Han shot first.